Di is kind of building us up to those Psalms with Psalm 117, which I will read. Praise the Lord, all you nations, extol him, all you peoples, for great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. So come on up, Di, we've got to stand a bit away, so I'll move away and you can speak. But it's obviously been a challenging last 16 months in ministry. Love to hear how things have been for you guys down at Redeemer, and also the ministry of Manumit, which I know is continuing to kind of grow and flourish, and new opportunities coming up your way. So just fill us in on those two things, as well as how the family are.
Yeah, well, I haven't got a microphone, so...
You come here now.
I was going to just...
Yell. But that's all right. That's better, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's fine. Yeah, so praise God. Like, you know, church is still going. I can take it off now.
Yeah.
Is there anything worse than spitting in a mask when you sing? Like, it's just the... Like, the reason I'm glad to be preachers, I can take it off. I'm sorry for you guys, honestly. You can't even turn it inside out, can you? Because that's, like, completely defeating the object. But, yeah. Yeah, so anyway, church is going good. By God's grace, we managed to come through the pandemic. We've not lost many people along the way. There's a couple of our asylum seekers who are coming have not returned. But as a church family, we've stayed quite tight. Like you guys, really not enjoyed the transition. I think one of the big losses that we had as a church was we used to eat together every Sunday at lunchtime and then have the service after that. We've had to change that completely because of COVID, so that's been a challenge. But in the midst of it, God's been good. Several people have been added to our church. There's a guy that I knew through prison ministry has come out and has come to faith and was just talking to me this afternoon about getting baptized, so that's really encouraging. And there's lots of opportunities in our community, especially in the Adamsdown area, in Clifton Street area, for the gospel. So we're grateful for that. My kids, if you want to pray for anyone, my kids are all absolutely knackered after this last term. Like, I've never seen them all so tired. I'm hoping and praying that the next 6 weeks they don't just sort of like get back to zero before going back into it again. But God will really refresh them. Michelle, my wife, has been doing really well. So she's been, she's doing a great job of caring for them and caring for me as well. So that's the kind of update on the family and on church. Manumit, the coffee business, by God's grace, grew a lot over the lockdown. Everyone was stuck in their house drinking coffee, so that helped. We grew to such a size that we had to expand. We got the unit next door now, so we've knocked a hole through the wall, got twice as much space. We're continually looking for more people to employ and to work with, so that's been fantastic. So please buy Manumit coffee. That's kind of my little shameless sales plug, which I wouldn't have done apart from Dave put me up to it. Man, Dave, is that all the water you're expecting me to drink? Because that is sizable. Look at that. That's fantastic. So, do I just start preaching now? Is that the plan? Because you asked a question and ran away.
I asked a question and then I was like, there you are. You said, let me pray for you now.
Yeah, cheers. Nice one.
You can move away. I've got to speak. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can bring all of our concerns to you. We praise you for Di and Michelle and for your work of grace down at Redeemer. And even though it's been a challenging year, we thank you so much. We can gather again. We can sing again. And before long, we pray we'll be able to eat and share fellowship. And we pray, please, would you encourage Di this evening? Speak through him, we pray. It's a hot day and we're warm, but we know that you have a word for us tonight. We're sure of that. And so we pray you speak through Di and set our hearts ablaze with love for you now. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Cheers, Dave. Guys, I can't fault you for turning up tonight. It is boiling, and so well done. If I was more charismatic, I'd probably make some sort of statement about you getting a better jewel in your crown or something like that. Can't do that. Just think it's amazing that you came up, and so well done. Also, there's some chewing gum on the podium. That's probably freaking me out as well, so I'm going to just push that over there a little bit. That's okay, on the piece of paper. There we are. Literally, there's a little bit of chewing gum on the paper there. Highfield Secrets. Yeah, appreciate that, because I just don't want to put my Bible on it, that's all. That would be the worst. Okay, so the guys asked me to preach. I'm here to preach. I asked the Lord what I should preach about, and I've got an absolute tiny, teeny, tiny passage of the Scripture, shortest chapter in the whole Bible, but it is absolutely loaded with goodness. And why have I landed on this Scripture? Well, here's the thing, guys. The pandemic's doing my head in. I don't know about you guys. I've had enough of it. And everybody in the world's had enough of it. Everyone's talking about this global pandemic. There's global problems. Global governments are all freaking out. There's a global warming conversations going on. There are global issues. There's this country dealing with this stuff, that country dealing with that stuff. It feels like right now when you turn the news on, there are a lot of things in our own country and in every country in the world where, like, if you didn't know better, you would just be really depressed and would just, you know, give up. In fact, I remember thinking when the pandemic first hit the UK, wow, if it gets really bad like in the UK, I wonder where in the world we could go where we'd be safe from the pandemic. I wonder if we could go and, you know, live in another country for a while. But it's everywhere. It's affected. The whole world has been affected. So I landed on this scripture because I actually thought, do you know what? We need something bigger to focus on than a global pandemic. We need a reason to get out of bed in the morning with hope in our hearts, with faith, that's bigger than whatever seismic problem we might choose to focus on today. And this scripture, Psalm 117, gives us just that. It gives us something, or should I say someone, greater than the biggest problem or the biggest issue that this world could ever face. It gives us a reason to get out of bed in the morning. It gives us a reason to hope. It gives us a reason to rejoice. It gives us a reason to be different and to live different to the way that others in the world are living and handling things right now. There is such goodness in this two-verse psalm that as we get into it, I really hope that a couple of things happen. I hope that, number one, as we get into this passage, you'll see that we have a mission to be engaging in here and now. And I hope as well that you see that we have a vision for the there and then. There's a mission for the here and now. There's a vision for the there and then. And there is some absolute gospel goodness to just do us some good tonight. So thank you for coming tonight and being willing to sit through this heat with that mask on. My prayer is that the word of God just goes straight into your heart and does you so much good. And if you're watching online, I pray the same thing for you, that this message would do you good. And the psalm, I'll read it again because it doesn't take very long. The psalm 117 says this. I'm using the ESV, by the way. It's very, very similar to the NIV, which is why I didn't mind doing it. But this is just my Bible. I know my way around it better than the NIV, so that's why we're there. This is the psalm. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. That's it. That's the psalm. That is what we're focusing on tonight. And we started off by being told that we need to praise the Lord. It's a command, not just a suggestion. We are, by nature, worshipful people. We do praise. We love to give praise. We love to receive praise. All the time when there's football stuff going on, we're praising and we're adoring football players or sportsmen or musicians or artists, or when our children do things really well, we want to support and encourage them and praise them. Our social media feeds are filled with things that we think are praiseworthy, either photographs from our holidays or family stuff or amazing things that we've seen or that we've done. Oftentimes we do it because actually we want the object of other people's praise to be ourselves. We love receiving praise. That's what the like button's for. Don't know if you knew that. We want people to praise us. And so whether we're looking to other things and other people to lavish praise upon them, or whether we want to invert it and have praise given to ourselves, we're told in the psalm that that's not why we're here. That's not why we're on the planet. The reason we're here is to give praise to the only one who's actually worthy of praise. We're to praise the Lord, the God of the universe, the creator, the sustainer of all things. That's who we're to praise. I want to ask you, today, is your life a life of praise? Did you get out of bed this morning with the objective of saying, Lord, my life for you today, would you derive praise from my life? What is praise? Is it singing and music? Absolutely. I loved just being here and just having these few songs and singing with you guys. And there's so many psalms where, you know, praise him on the trumpet, the psaltery and harp, praise him on the timbrel and the dance. You all know the song. You sing it in Spring Harvest. Praise him on string instruments too. Bam, 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 bam. You know that one, right? So yeah, there's a musical component to praise. There's a singing component to praise. Like, we love to do that. And that's why for the last, you know, I don't know, 15 months until we were able to sing again, it felt like something wasn't right. It wasn't, it just hurt that we couldn't let the praise out. But there's more to praise than just song, more to praise than just music. Praise is a life laid down for one who is greater than us and worthy of our praise. Guys, we exist to praise the Lord. That's why we're here. The chief end of man is to glorify God. Do you love God? I know it's a stupid question because you're in church. You'd assume the answer is yes. Do you want to praise God? Again, you'd assume the answer is yes because here you are. But it's very easy to sit in church and still live for your own praise and not give God the praise that he deserves. And the Bible is full of reasons that we could praise God. We could fixate ourselves upon his creation. That is enough to take our breath away. You can just praise the Lord for what he's made. You can praise the Lord for what he's written. The word of God is enough to just draw praise. And the truth of God is enough to just excite our deepest spiritual senses. We can focus on the salvation of God. We can focus on the mission of God, the purpose of God, the miracles of God, the future that we have in God. All those things are reasons to praise. But here's the thing. We're not just told to praise the Lord. We're told that if we're going to praise the Lord, we're just going to play our part in a much bigger vision, a much bigger mission. Praise is bigger than me, and it's bigger than you, because God is so praiseworthy. God is so glorious. God is so wonderful that it takes a world of praise to be adequate. And even then, it's inadequate. It takes generations of a world of praise for eternity to truly be adequate. But here we see in verse 1, praise the Lord, all nations. This was a psalm written in a Jewish context. Those people, the special chosen people of God there in the Old Testament times, they knew it was their job to praise God. They knew they were God's holy race, his special people. But the psalmist is clear. It takes more than just your country, more than just the Jews to give God the praise he deserves. All nations are needed to give God the praise that he deserves. All the way through the scriptures, you can't miss it. God had global aspirations for praise. He told Abraham, or Abram as he was back then, that through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. You see it in the history books. You see it in the wisdom books. You see it throughout the prophets, the major prophets and the minor prophets. And then into the New Testament as Jesus comes. And Jesus lives and dies and rises again. And then the church is established. And the church is sent to make disciples of all nations. There's a global mission that we are called to be part of. Yes, we're called to praise, but God is so good, we can't keep him to ourselves. So yes, let's sing. Yes, let's dance, but let's see that true all nation, all people praise. True all nation, all people worship. Isn't just about everyone singing songs. It's about everybody telling everybody about the glory of God as found in Jesus Christ. That's why we exist. We need and that's a mission that should be bigger to us than the pandemic response. It's a mission that's lasted longer and will last longer than what's happening right now in this particular global moment. Just because things are hard, just because things are crazy, just because everyone in the world is like going, wow, what's going on? Well, we do know this. Whatever's going on, we still got a job to do. We are to praise God and to extol him before all nations and all people so that all men, all women, all children have a chance to hear the good news of Jesus and to respond with praise of their own. That mission hasn't changed. That objective hasn't changed. This psalm was written 1,000-odd years before Jesus, and it was as applicable then, so now rather, as it was then. We still are part of this global mission to see the Lord praised as he alone deserves. To take ourselves off the altar and to put him on the altar, on the throne rather. To put ourselves on the altar and to put him on the throne. That's what we're called to do. To make sure that he is the one that gets praised. And we lay down our lives in glad sacrifice to make sure that happens. Praise the Lord, Wales. Praise the Lord, Cardiff. Are we playing our part? Are we singing our way through this pandemic? Are we rejoicing our way through the problems and pains? Oh, there's so much heartache, guys. I'm not saying let's be flippant about this. I'm not saying let's not pretend there aren't very serious things going on. I'm not saying stop watching the news. I'm not saying stop despairing about certain stupid political decisions. I'm not saying don't think there's no issues. All I'm saying is don't let that capture your heart and own your heart. I'm saying let Jesus capture your heart and own your heart. And let your song, let your life of worship and praise be louder than just the voices of doom and gloom and pessimism and terror that are all around us right now. Play your part in praising him, and play your part in calling others to praise him with you. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. And as I said, that is a mission for the here and now. But praise the Lord, it's also a vision for the there and then. And we're going to come at the end of the message to see what that vision truly is. This isn't just for the here and now. This is a picture of what we're headed to. This is a picture of our beautiful future. But we're going to see here now in verse 2, why should I praise him? Die, you say God's praiseworthy. You say that I should be giving my life and living my life for his glory. Show me then why. Why should I praise God? Because life is hard. Life is challenging. I got questions. I got doubts. I got pain, deep, deep pain. Why should I praise God? Well, verse 2, you got it right there. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. Why? For great is his steadfast love toward us. Oh, I could just do a sermon series on just that sentence. Guys, this is the bullet point. He loves us. That's the bullet point. Praise him because he loves you. Unendingly, unswervingly, massively, inexplicably, gloriously, you are loved. We are loved. And this language is so huge. We need all nations and all peoples to celebrate a great, a mega, a massive, a huge, a gargantuan, a massive love. A steadfast love. We're told so many amazing things about the steadfast love of God throughout the scriptures. And you'll often find there's a couplet of the steadfast love and the faithfulness of God often being put together to encourage us in who God is and what he is like. One of my personal favorites is Proverbs chapter 3 verse 3 that says, "Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart and you'll earn favor and a good name before God and man." But like literally there's so many. I say it now. Look in your Bible next time you see the word steadfast love or mercy or unfailing love, whatever your translation has, you'll find the word faithfulness or truth right next to it. It's the chesed, the steadfast love, and the emet, the faithfulness of God. They're like this couplet that just keeps showing up to show us beautiful things about God. We're going to look at both of them right now. Firstly, we're going to look at the steadfast love of God. When Moses was on Sinai getting his second lot of tablets, because he broke the first ones, I don't know if you remember that bit, and God descends in a cloud, Exodus 34, verse 5. The Lord descends in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And then verse 6, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The word abounding means he's got shed loads of it. Has God got enough love for you? Yes. Has he got enough love for me? Yes. Has he got enough love for us in this room? Yes. Has he got enough love for a city like Cardiff? Yes. Has he got enough love for Wales? Yes. Has he got enough love for all peoples and all nations? Yes. He is rolling in it. He's got more love than we can handle. More steadfast love than we could even fathom. Psalm 33 says it this way. Psalm 33 verse 5. Says this, speaking of the steadfast love of God. God loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. So you want a picture of just how abundant God's treasure house, his treasure store of love is? Well, the world is full of it. It's an earth full of love. There's a world full of his love. Think of all the oxygen in the world. Well, he's got more love than that. Think of the globe. Just picture the world in your mind. How big it is. How diverse. The right now there's people in bed on the other side of it because it's so big. Like, the world is full of his steadfast love. But here's the thing. Even that's not a big enough picture. Because you've read Psalm 103, haven't you? If you haven't, get on it like Sonic, because that's a psalm, I'm telling you. Psalm 103 is full of amazing things about God and how much he has done for us and what we have in him. It starts with, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." And we see here in verse 8, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love." So we see that again, that word, that abundance of steadfast love. But we saw in Psalm 33 that, like, the whole world is full of his steadfast love. But look at verse 11. "For as high as the heavens are above the earth." That's high, by the way. Like, if you want to work out how high the heavens are above the earth, you've got to do some... Actually, let's finish the verse first, innit? Then I'll do my little other thing. "For high as the heavens are above the earth..." You didn't know where I was going with that, did you? "As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him." So how much does God love us? How much love is available to us? Well, there's an abundance. There's a world full. Nah, there is a universe full of steadfast love available to us from God. "As high as the heavens are above the earth." I love the fact that the scripture gives us, like, visual stimuli to help us to reconcile ourselves and to understand with epic truths. Because the heavens is talking about the stars, the cosmos. If you've ever been outside of a city where there's no electricity, like Blaenavon, no, I'm joking. Now, if you ever been to, like, outside the city where there's no, there's a power cut or a campsite on a summer's night or a winter night where there's no clouds, but that doesn't happen very often in Wales, does it? It's always cloudy in the winter and more normally in the summer, where there's no clouds and you look up and you just see this massive sort of like blanket of just like dazzling whiteness and sparkliness and twinkles and sprinkles of light everywhere. And it blows your mind. It's like, wow, we're tiny. Like, I'm tiny. Our world is tiny. Even our sun is tiny. The universe is huge. I tried finding out for you how big the universe is by Googling it. And it's not very easy to find out how big the universe is by Googling it. I've done my best for you. Here's what I found out, though. The furthest star that they can see in our known universe is 5 billion light years away. Which is far. That's further than Scotland. Like, that's so far. Like, a light year is how far you could travel in 1 year if you could travel at the speed of light. So whatever vehicle you came in tonight, imagine it had like some special little, like, you know, upgrade where you could travel at the speed of light. You can travel 5.88 trillion miles in 1 year if you had a car like that. That's far. And the furthest star that we can see is 5 billion of them away. I can't even do the maths on that. I've done it on my calculator, and it didn't give me a number. It gave me a something to the power of something to the power of something. I don't understand that. I got a C in GCSE maths. So I counted 21 zeros, or maybe 28. I'll find out a little bit more zeros than I can handle. The sort of zeros you'd love in your bank account, but not the sort of zeros you can handle if you're rubbish at maths. But, like, far, 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 far away. That's the breadth of the heavens. That's the scale of the cosmos. That is the volume of God's steadfast love for a sinful, broken world. So next time you go out and see the stars, don't just go, "Oh, they're cool. Oh, that was particularly twinkly. Oh, look, there's a plough." That's what I do, isn't it? I got the plough and Orion and I'm done. Do you know what I mean? There's so much more than the plough and Orion, although they're quite cool. Look up and allow God to just take your breath for a minute where you realize that God has given us the stars to show us, yes, how glorious he is. The heavens declare the glory of God, but also to declare how much that glorious God loves you. Great is his steadfast love. Guys, perhaps some of you even believe that you're unlovable. Maybe because of problems, issues in relationships, things that happened in your family, stuff in your past, even stuff that's happening right now. Maybe you feel, am I even lovable? Does anybody even care about me? I want to say to you that the God of the universe has a universe of love available for people like you and people like me. You are loved, and the heavens scream it. They show us without any shadow of a doubt that there is a volume of love, a quantity of steadfast love that's meant to blow your mind. I think after time, we allow ourselves to get obsessed about kitten pictures on Instagram or stupid news articles. They just depress us. And all the while, there's a God saying, this is how much I love you. I love you so much. I got so much love for you. And I went the route that I did on purpose, right? Because Psalm 33 says that the world is full, the earth is full of God's steadfast love. That sounds quite nebulous. That makes God's love sound a little bit like oxygen. It's kind of out there. It's kind of, is it there? It's there somewhere. But look at what we just read in Psalm 103, verse 11. I'll read it to you again, because this same phrase is repeated in Psalm 117. I want you to get something off this. Are you ready for this? For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. Note that word, towards, because now in Psalm 117, let's go back there and see if we can find something out about the steadfast love of God. Not that it's some nebulous sort of ethereal emotion we've got to kind of sort of tap into spiritually. No. Listen, God's love is directed. Psalm 117, for great is his steadfast love towards us. He commissions his love. He sends his love in our direction. God's love isn't out there. God's love came down here. God's love isn't just sort of ethereal. It's not fluffy. It came in the form of a man, Jesus Christ. And God has shown us his love by sending one to demonstrate that love for us. Because I could say, let's all get excited about light years and stars and universes. And let's just all celebrate the scale and the breadth of God's love, but hallelujah, we don't need to look only to the stars to see the breadth of God's love. God's given us somewhere else to look, somewhere else to fix our eyes, so we can see the scale and the depth of God's love. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, this was written after this psalm was written. This was written about Jesus Christ, the full expression of God's love to us. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, we read this. I want to encourage you, if you struggle with the idea of being loved by God, if you struggle with the idea of God caring about you, if you struggle with the idea that this vast ocean, this vast universe of steadfast love I've been talking about has got anything to do with you, then look at Romans chapter 5 verse 8 with me, because you've got to see it here. You don't just need to look at the stars, look at the cross outside of Jerusalem. God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You don't just need to look to the stars and believe, yeah, there's a love out there somewhere. Nah, look to Jesus. Look to his cross and see that there is hope for a sinful world. He didn't save those who were good. He didn't save those who were sorted. He didn't save those who were kind of more the kind of people that he wanted on his team. While we were still sinners, while we were still wretched, while we were still broken and busted up, while we were still far from God, while we were still God's enemies, God demonstrated his love for us and said, you want to know where to look to know you're loved? You want to know where to look to know that no matter what else is going on, there is a love that is just unstoppable and unshakable? Do you want to see how abounding my love is to you? Don't just look to the stars. Look to my son. And my friends, we've got to keep the cross of Christ forever in our focus as we try and navigate through this bonkers world and this crazy age that we're living through right now. I don't think Boris loves me very much. Just being honest, never met the dude, I'm sure he's fine, but I'm not going to look to Boris or any politician for the ultimate love that I need. My wife does her best, but I'm a drama queen. She can't love me perfectly, I must do her head in. And my kids are great, but they're kids, and I'm embarrassing to them. Their love for me is imperfect. I got some great friends, but they let me down and I let them down. Now, there's no politician, there's no spouse, there's no family member, no friend who's capable of giving my heart and my soul the kind of love that they crave, and to be honest with you, the kind of love that they need, the kind of love that will anchor me and you through storms like this. We've got to look somewhere better than that. And I just told you where to look. Look to the cross and see the steadfast love, the abounding love, the epic and unfathomable, glorious, mind-blowing love of God. And know that when he cried "it is finished" on that cross, he was basically saying, "I've got nothing left to prove to you." Not just there's nothing left to pay for your sin, but there's nothing left for me to prove about how much I love you. It is proven. The evidence is here, hanging on this cross before you. My friends, do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus didn't just love the world, didn't just love all nations and all peoples enough to die for them? Do you believe he died for you? You know, your sin, the stuff that haunts you, the stuff that plagues you, the stuff that you wish you could forget, the guilt you just can't scrub away. God knows that. And he still loves you. And the cross is compelling, irrefutable evidence that that is the case. Why wouldn't I praise him? Great is his steadfast love towards us. He directed that love towards us. It's not just out there. It came down here. And the minute you put your faith in Jesus, it enters into here. He's directed his love into my heart. Do you know, I can't actually believe that he saved me. I can, because you're what I am like, innit? But I know who I was pre-Christ. Sometimes Satan likes to sneak up and remind me of my past to try and discourage me. But when I look at my past through the lens of the cross, I'm just like, Satan, you're not discouraging me, mate. You're just showing me just how much God loved me. Tell me the worst. I ain't going to argue that the worst isn't true. I'm just going to say to you that he loved me more. It's how I cope. It's how I cope, guys. This is my coping mechanism. It's not just how and why I praise. This is how I cope with myself and my life in this world. There's a bigger love than stuff that I have to handle and you have to handle day in, day out. Great is his steadfast love towards us. And finally, just in this psalm, I've got to find it again now because I forgot to put the ribbon in there. Sorry. Here we go. Right. Great is his steadfast love towards us. And you get like, you know, you get a little bonus here as well. Because let's be honest, I could have said amen there. You would have been encouraged, I hope. That's how much God loves us. Like, happy days. Let's say praise the Lord and sing another song and go home and carry on praising him. But you know, we get a little bonus round. Da, da, da. And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. And I wish I could go deeper into these things. I haven't got time, like, in it, nor have you, to be honest, because I could talk for Wales. But the steadfast love of God is a picture of the covenant love of God, that God loves us and he made a promise and he keeps his promise. And the faithfulness means that he'll never break that promise. He's true to his word, that when he says he is for us, he doesn't change his mind. He doesn't get bored of us. He doesn't get fed up with us. He doesn't say, do you know what, I tried a bit of Reevesy, but like, he's doing my head in, so I'm going to forget. Reeves, you're out, son. Sorry, you're not my kind of person. Like, who else can I let into my family? No, I don't like you either. No, off you go. No, when he saves us, he keeps us. He saves us and he sustains us. Jesus said, I will lose none that the Father has given me. Guys, when you put yourself in the hands of God and say, here I am, if you want me, you can have me. He says, great, and I'm never letting go of you. I'm going to be true to you. I'm going to be faithful. One of my favorite scriptures is on this subject is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's just an absolute banger, honestly. It might even be 1 Timothy chapter 2 after I said that. It is 2 Timothy, isn't it? Yeah, that even though we're faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. It's 2 Timothy 2, verse 13. If we are faithless, this is such good news, because we are. How rubbish would it be, right, if the gospel, the Christian message was, come in your brokenness, come in your sin, look how much God loves you, big universe, big cross, but come to Jesus, he'll forgive you, but once you come to him, once you come to Jesus, you better not stuff up, you better not let him down, you better not, like, sin again, you better not blow it, you better not be unfaithful, He's given you the chance of a lifetime to, like, you know, to be part of his family. Don't mess it up, people. Would that be good news for you? I wouldn't even make it home. Like, we are so faithless. Our faith is so weak and so puny. If our Christianity, if our faith was rooted in us and our faithfulness, this would not be a good news message. It'd be praise the Lord, all nations, extol him, all peoples, who never messed up. There wouldn't be a lot of praise going on. Because you blow it. I blow it all the time. I let him down all the time. I don't want to do it. I hate doing it. I'm not being flippant about it. I seek his help every day, his spirit to change me from one degree of glory to another. I want to become more and more like Jesus. But it doesn't change the fact that I get to the end of every day and there's still things I need to repent of. Every day. I'm not the man I used to, I'm not the man I want to be, but I'm certainly not the man I used to be. I'm somewhere in the middle. I'm on this trajectory. I'm probably doing better following Jesus than I was, you know, 29 years ago, but I still suck at it. And so do you. No offense. But that's not what your hope is in. That's not what you're banking on. You're not saying, I'll hold on till heaven. I'll get there. No one's going to shake my hands off this cross. No one's going to shake my hands off Jesus. No one's going to rattle me. Guys, that's not where your confidence is found. Do you know where your confidence is found tonight? It's that his faithfulness endures forever, not yours. That when he holds you, it's his grip. Any of you guys who have ever tried walking a toddler across a main road, this is how this plays out. You hold their hand and they kind of hold your hand. And you can see cars coming. Now, they might think that they're helping you across the road. That'd be very nice of them to think that, wouldn't it? But the bottom line is, if I'm crossing a road, I'm standing on the side of a road, and my child makes a break for it across the road, and I see a car coming, if the strength of that relationship is in the strength of the child's grip and not the strength of the father's grip, that child is going to be in big trouble. And you all know who've had children or have helped children across the road. It's not just parents and adults that get this. It's like anybody that's held a small child's hand to try and help them. You know this. The one with the strongest grip wins. So I'm holding my child's hand, and if I get the closer I get to the edge of a road, the tighter the grip gets. So they can let go all they want. And sometimes they do. But guess what? They're getting across safely because dad's got a stronger grip than they have. That is the faithfulness of God. His grip on you is stronger than your grip on him. His ability to keep his promises to us is infinitely greater than our ability to keep our pathetic promises to him. And even if we're faithless, he remains faithful because he can't deny himself. Guys, this is the gospel. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love towards us, shown most compellingly at the cross. And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. And I want to end with a praise the Lord at the end, but I can't, because I told you that this isn't just speaking about our mission for the here and now, but this is also a glorious glimpse of the there and then. This is a glimpse of where we're going. I want to take you to literally what has become one of the most important chapters in the Bible for me personally, for the church that we're seeking to establish in Splott, Revelation chapter 7. We're privileged in our church, as you are here, to have people from all over the world. There's not just Welsh whiteys in my church. We've got people from Africa, various countries in Africa, from Asia, people from America, people from other parts of Europe, different languages, different tongues. But who've all come to the same Christ, and they found that the same steadfast love of God found in Jesus Christ was as available to them in their context and from their language and from their background and with their skin color and their language as it was to us here in Wales. And together, we're trying to make sense of that and trying to walk this path together. But here in Revelation chapter 7, I want you to see where this all nation, all peoples worship ends. Because if we're not excited about it now and not motivated by it now, then we're not going to be then either. Because this is what heaven's going to look like. Revelation 7, verse 9. After this, I looked and behold, a great multitude that no one could number. Where were they from? Were they all Welsh? Well, no. From every nation and from all tribes and peoples and languages. Well, where were they too? They were standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And they were clothed in white robes, symbolizing purity and forgiveness and righteousness and acceptance before God. And with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Our anthem then will only be, I hope, a perfect strain of the anthem that we should be pathetically trying to be ringing out now. The salvation belongs to our God. He saves. He strengthens. He preserves. He gets us to the finish line. He brings us into his heaven. Not just us, but people from every tribe, language, nation, tongue. And he brings us around the throne where we get to gaze for eternity upon the one who made that happen, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who takes away the sins of the world. And if we're not excited about the Lamb now, heaven's going to sound a little bit duff and a little bit boring. But the more excited we are about the Lamb now, the more we allow just the grace of God that saved us to blow our minds now, the more every single day closer to the perfect fulfillment, the crescendo of what this is all leading to, every people of every tribe, language, nation and tongue around that throne, just reveling in that grace for eternity, the more we see that we're on the right trajectory today. Do you live for him? Do you praise him? Is your life bigger than yourself? Is your life bigger than your fears? Is your praise going to punch through the pain and the paranoia and the fear and all the stuff which could grip our hearts right now? If it is, then make sure that your life rings out with the final phrase of this psalm. Praise the Lord, or as it says in Hebrew, hallelujah. Because God is worthy of our praise. Tonight, if you're a Christian, punch through whatever it is that you're struggling with praise. Fix your eyes on him. Fix your eyes on who he is, what he's done. Dedicate yourself to the mission of praising him and drawing others to praise him. Like John Piper said, missions exist because worship doesn't. Let's just praise him and just gather other worshippers to praise him alongside us. And let's not just like live for the here and now. Let's keep half an eye on the there and then. Because right now, with the madness going on, heaven feels like a great deal. I can't wait to get there. Let's stay on this trajectory, fixated by him, fascinated by him, obsessed about him, glorifying him, praising him, proclaiming him until we get there. And I know that I'm going to be with so many of you guys, and it's going to be the best. And that's worth spending your life on, guys. Don't miss it. And tonight, if you don't know this Jesus, don't leave this place without knowing this Jesus. He alone saves. He alone sustains. He alone is worthy of your praise and worthy of your life. Let me close in prayer. Lord, I really hope and pray that this passage, the exhortation of your words to see you as you are and to live our lives under that, in that, for that. I pray, Lord, that brothers and sisters and myself will be helped by your Spirit to live on that trajectory, that heavenward trajectory. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for your abundance, your universe full of steadfast love, seen most compellingly at the cross. Anybody here, Lord, who doesn't know you, Lord, may they not feel an unhealthy fear of you tonight. May they just see how much you love them and respond in repentance and faith. Help them to turn, Lord, to you from their sin, from their brokenness, from their shame. Help them to sign up to be one of those worshippers today and for eternity. And help us, Lord, we pray, in the midst of all the craziness going on in our world right now, to never lose sight of the one who it's really all about. It centers us. It stays our hearts. Lord, may we be good news people because of that. In Jesus' name. Amen.